My name is Brother Richard Sweat, and I've been in Canada for about 10 years. I'm a flop missionary. You're looking at number one failure right here. I decided to sit under a man and just take it easy for a while. And, you know, Brother Gibbs has been coming up for a couple years, and one of the things that he's given us is a challenge in Canada. And, you know, the situation, for those who don't, the law they just passed in Canada, Bill C-250, they allowed the queers got their way. And I can say that here, and I won't go to jail. Amen. Amen. Queers. Amen. Fags. You know what a fag is? It's a stick that you burn. That's what a fag is. I heard a very funny preacher, you know him, Jim White. I heard him at Bible Baptist. He said, you know how you wink at a queer? Like this. Anyway, Brother Gip, he gave us, he gave Canadians a challenge. And, you know, I wanted so bad to be the guy to stand up for Canada. And I can't be that guy, because I'm an American. I can't be that guy. You folks need to pray for Canada. You need to pray for Canada. You know what I can do? I can plow the road for that young man right there. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. Amen.
I first want to say thank you to all of you that complimented me for being Tim Green. But I'm not. My wife and I went up, Tim and I are longtime friends, and we're all the time picking at one another about things. And my wife and I took a trip up into Michigan and went to his dad's church, and it was real good because when we walked in, everybody, hey, you know, like, you know, and I'm from Alabama, you know. No Yankees ever said, hey, to me, you know. You'd always say, all right, where's his gun? But we went in, and I really had a good time because I knew right off they were thinking I was Tim. And I told my wife, I said, hold my arm. And boy, I just paraded her all over the place. All over that, all around, everywhere, and I just wonder how many of them went home thinking that Sandy had left him. But guys, I do, all seriousness, I wanted to say something. 2 years ago, when you started this fellowship, this conference, Brother Sowell and I had talked, and we started having Brother Sowell into our church, and our folks liked him. I figured out why, but they do. But maybe it's because of in contrast to me. But we heard about this, and I told my wife, I said, we're going. And I got my plane tickets and made my reservations. I called Brother Randy on the phone, and I told him, I said, we want to, I got that thing. I said, I filled it out, and online I called him too. I said, we want to come out, put my name on the list, want to come out. And I think the thing was in August, and I fell off a scaffold on June the 24th and crushed my heel and broke my right leg and changed my life. You know, a lot of folks talk about being saved, change your life. Well, I've been saved since I was 9 years old. I came to church before I was born. My mom and dad both were saved before they married and raised us up, and I've been in church all my life. It's never been a question about whether or not I went to church. My children never had to ask, Daddy, are we going to church today? They still don't ask. But it changed my life because I've always been very athletic, very outgoing, very, you know, macho, you know, type guy. You know, I didn't, you know, I like that, you know, winking at queer deal, you know, I like that. I heard that before, you know. The only thing about it, he didn't have anything in his hand. But I really think that that the Lord did sort of held me back. There's a lot of things going on in our church at that time. And boy, the last 2 years has been tough. And Brother Gibbs, I agree with you. The only thing that's kept me going has not been that I'm such a fighter and I'm just, boy, I'm just not going to get whipped, you know. The only way I'd ever get whipped is somebody kill me. I'm just going to keep on getting up no matter what. But the only thing kept me going was looking around at my folks and looking around at what God had done those 8 years leading up to that. And God's done so many miraculous things in our church and our community there. And by the grace of God, our church is still going strong for God today. But I just want to say, I am so glad I got to come. I fell off the scaffold that day. I didn't call and cancel my reservation. I said, I'm going on crutches. But I didn't know I was going to be in a wheelchair. And that's not good. Crutches I can handle. I've done that before. I've been quail hunting on crutches. But a wheelchair is real different. It's really bad when the funniest thing that happens to you is going to the bathroom. You ever tried that when you've got a cast on your left leg and you've got one of those immobilizers on the right leg? I think I should be an engineer or something. I figured it out. But we wound up not getting to go, and I don't want to take a whole lot of time, but I just want you folks to know. We didn't get to go then. I've had 4 surgeries since then, trying to get to where I can go. I had my last surgery in July of this year, and I was scheduled to go back to the doctor last week, and I had another doctor's appointment to go for my diabetes. I'm diabetic also, and I just told my wife, I said, I'm not going. I'm not going to the doctor till I go out there. I'm not going to go and find out if everything's okay. I'm going out there. And then when I get back, if it's not okay, then he can tell me, but I'll be grinning the whole time. I say, I went anyway. Devil, I went. I went no matter what. I went. And boy, I cannot tell you. I can't tell you how great, how glad that I am that my wife and I got to come. Amen. God has filled my cup and give me a bucket to pour it in so he could fill it again. And over again, you folks, and I'm talking to Treasure Valley folks right now, you folks are great. Amen. And you've blessed my soul, and I'll go away from here saying, I hope the plane fare stays cheap so I can come again. Thank you.
Well, many of you know me. I'm a missionary out of your church here. We're an extension of your church. I wouldn't be here without a couple people, or 3 people, in fact, I can think of for sure. First, my mother. Amen. Thank the Lord for mother. But the one for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. I'm just so thankful, first of all, to be allowed here. But personally speaking, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't have the money to come here except your pastor offered us the plane tickets to come. I can't tell you how much a blessing it's been. We're trying to do something in Canada. And we've got several Canadians here represented. In fact, our pastor just came up and was with us. We had a blessed time. He was a blessing to me personally. He gave me a lot of strength. I was wore out and stuff. And the first message he preached, man, I tell you what, I unloaded on the Lord. Big time. But I just want to tell you that if we're going to save Canada, and Canada's ever going to have a chance to get right with God, it's going to be through our young people. young people, not old people. Man, I'm 61. I say I'm wore out. I'm 61. We wore out. But bless God, this year we started a Christian school to save some of our kids from the school system. And it's not easy. Everything's work, and you're tired. I tell you, I've been tired, I think, ever since I got out of school. I don't think I've ever stopped. And, you know, I thought we was going to rest. I said, man, I'm going to take a month off when I get out of school. And that's been 20-something years ago. I don't even remember how many years ago it's been. And you talk about stop. There ain't no stop, man. It's getting faster and faster and more work and more work. And I just want to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. We've had some of men, and even out of our own church in China. We've got a young man preaching and pastoring a church over in Nova Scotia. Now, this is your fruit. This is your fruit that you gave to get me there to where I could preach the gospel and do what God's called me to do personally. Now, God's blessed us, man. I tell you what, you won't believe. I could sit up here all night. Now, you would not believe what our Lord Jesus Christ has done in Montreal. And we have some young men here. I'd like a couple of them to stand up here. We brought a couple of them here. I want you to get familiar with their faces, because if anybody's going to move Canada, it's going to be these young men here. I wish, Brian, I'd personally speaking, I don't know if I could take that just for a second to let him say what a blessing that's been. Just take a couple minutes, tell what this meeting's meant to you, young man. Amen. Mark, you want to say a word? Amen. Mark wants to preach the gospel. Amen. Now, I tell you, all this wouldn't have been possible. I got my cup loaded, man. I tell you what, it's just unbelievable what's going through my heart and mind right now. We're going to put some of these things into motion. Our church right now, personally speaking, we cannot hold anymore. We're going to have to expand. Y'all pray for us. It's, I'm not afraid to expand, but I can't build a dog. I built a dog house one time. The dog wouldn't even go in it. So, you know, I thank the Lord that I know people. And I'll tell you something else about our church up there. Our church is a unique church in the fact of this. It wouldn't be there without American money and American prayers and American people. And we're American. We're pro-American. We love Canada. We want them to have the same blessed gospel and liberty that you enjoy here. We have it there. But we want to go a little bit farther. And hopefully we can start something up there, buddy, that'll go all the way across Canada. And with your prayers and with your continued, with these meetings to help us to keep from making the mistakes that we made when we were young and zealous and stupid, amen? But now we've got some brains, and I've got, if we can just put these things into practice that we've learned today and go with it, and I'll tell you, I've been a blessed man. I can't tell you how much I've been blessed, amen? But I want to thank personally the pastor here for just allowing us, and we would not be here if he hadn't given us the money to get here. I could not come. These young men could not come. And I'd ask you, closing, just to pray for my wife. She is going through a lot of struggles with her health. I don't say a whole lot about it. But please continue to keep her in your prayer and our church and these young men. Amen? Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Amen.
First, I want to say thank you to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I was saved in Desert Storm, the first Gulf War, so pray for those soldiers that are out there. You never know, if 10 or 12 years from now, he may be standing here saying thank you. Thank you for those that pray. Secondly, I want to say thank you to Treasure Valley Baptist Church for putting this on. It's been tremendous. I can't begin to explain the blessing I've had over the last 3 days, both my wife and I, and I know Brother Ken and his wife Marcy, who are from my church there. We do appreciate everything you've done, all the effort. I wish I knew everyone that was behind the scenes, so I can personally thank you. So I'd like to just extend a thank you to you for that. And Pastor, thank you very much. And I've been to I've been to a handful of conferences, and there's nothing like this one.
Good.
I really enjoyed it. I've got a blessing, learned a lot. And thirdly, just want to tell you that my church is 4 years old. The Lord allowed us to start it 4 years ago. And these 3 days, hearing the morning sessions and the preaching at night, hopefully next year the Lord provide a way to go up to your place and give you a real good report of what happened. And Brother Gip, I think you said 20 to 30 years of age. I'm 34. I think I still qualify there. Yeah. Okay, great. All right. So, again, thank you very much. You older preachers, thank you. I feel like I know you, and I've not met all of you, but I do appreciate you. Thank you very much for sticking by the stuff and setting an example for us.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You.
I was here in 96 to 99. I know most faces in the crowd. I remember 97, sat up here. Brother Leturco sat down there. Brother Leturco was up here preaching, and I turned to my wife and I said, I wonder if he needs an associate pastor up in Cody, Wyoming. Well, now I'm the pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Cody, Wyoming. Left here going to be an army chaplain, and the Lord had different directions, different plans for me, and it was hard to give up. I think the best ability you can have is availability to the Lord, whatever you would have me to do, Lord. We prayed to go north, Lord, anywhere but Missouri. Don't tell the Lord what you won't do, because he sent me to northern Missouri. Then about a year and a half ago, went to Grace. It's been a blessing up there. I want to know, Lord, what we need to get to feel your power here, feel your spirit here, so what we'd have to do. So let's do an all-night prayer. That just came to my mind, a men's all-night prayer. And Brother Gip, I said, no, we can't do that. And, you know, the men just won't do it. So finally I said, yes, we're going to do an all-night prayer. So we had an all-night prayer. Curtis Benson came up, Brother Turco. Had another church come up or invite and join us. Had a few men stay all night. And the next day, it was good. We prayed for growth. We prayed for different things. Honestly, sometimes I was praying because this is what I need to pray. You know, not really believing it, but I need to pray this. The next day, I took my son to a fishing trip. And my son passed out face first on cement. And parents, you know, I mean, he had his hands in his pocket and went straight down face first. And all we could think of is the devil is attacking us. The devil rushed him to the emergency room. He spent the night. But we claim Romans 8:28 because there was nothing wrong with him, but we did find there was something wrong with his heart. Amen. The Lord pointed that out. We would never have known that unless he had fainted. But after that, we had a family join. Right now, we have two or three families looking at joining the church. So prayer does work, and it can be done. And I didn't want to do that all-night prayer. And you know what? My men want to do it again, so we have another one scheduled in about 3 weeks. And my wife said, tell me before you do these things so I can be prayed up. We just had a VBS. Three kids got saved. Three kids got saved. And another encouragement to us is our teens, Brother Doty, our teens ran the VBS, and Brother Doty excited me and challenged me to look at our teens, and I'm actually going to have Brother Doty come out and spoil them, but talk to our teens. But I also want to encourage you men, thank your wives. Thank your wives. I want to thank my wife publicly for love and support and all that she does. But thank you, Brother DeMichael, for this. Been able to go to all three of these, and it has been a blessing. It's good to see old faces of guys in Kentucky, guys in New York. Oh, you were last year, right? And I got to tell you, it's encouraging. It's encouraging because you get to wonder sometimes, where's brother so-and-so? It's just encouraging. Thank you.
Amen. I'm a little ashamed I was so slow to come up. I don't know why that was, but I've got to start by saying thank you, Pastor and church here in Treasure Valley. I've been a sponge here all week, just soaking up, receiving, and I'd feel guilty, except I'm going to go back and wring myself out, and I'm looking forward to it. I came here tired physically, and I'm still tired physically, but I got some things that made up for that, and then some, and I really appreciate it. If anybody here ever gets a letter from me, and I write a lot of letters, it'll be signed in the Ministry of Reconciliation, and then I put my name there. And that comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, which says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." There I am. "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are our ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." That's what I'm doing, and that's all I know to do, and I've got a whole lot more to work with now, and I'm real thankful for it. Thank you for the help that you gave me getting here, all of it, everybody. I just appreciate it.
All right, appreciate those testimonies. Brother Peterson talked about that all-night prayer meeting. That's been a real blessing in our church. And we do it about four times a year, about every 3 months. And well, I'll tell you what, preaching on Sunday after an all-night prayer meeting, I'll tell you, just you can tell the difference. It's there's air conditioning and then there's prayer conditioning. And that's one of those ancient landmarks. And I'd encourage any pastor to consider that. And I think there's a good way to do it and a better way to do it. I think we've hit on a better way to do it. And if you'd like to talk to anybody about it, see Brother Mitchell. He kind of coordinates things. But we pray and alternately have preaching and singing and pray and alternately preaching and singing and so forth. Because we were afraid if you just told everybody to kneel down for 8 hours in prayer, you'd hear a lot of snoring in a couple of hours. Christ found that out. So in the Garden of Eden, Garden of Gethsemane. I think it's a great thing. I don't think we can have too much prayer in our churches. Now, for those of you guys talking about having Brother Doty in your church and preaching, please let me give you the disclaimer now. Do so at your own risk, okay? Because you didn't get it all today, okay? All right? There's more craziness where that came from, so I just want to take this opportunity to give you a disclaimer in case you do want to take that risk. Don't call me later and tell me what happened, okay? Unless it was good, I'll be glad to listen to that. Again, all complaints can be registered with Brother Mitchell, all right? But I got a chance to go to Montreal just not too long ago and preach for Brother Theophanopoulos, and that's a good work there. And if you got some missions money that's sitting around with nothing to do, he needs to do some building here pretty soon. And he's got a good church. Church's got a good spirit. I was very impressed. And that's a tough area. Montreal is a lot like Western Europe in many ways, the socialism and the mentality, but good Bible-believing group of people. I'd say 100 or more people there in the church. Is that right? And they about wore me out every night when I was done preaching with Bible questions. They want to talk Bible. And just a good group of people, some good young people. And they like hockey. You know, what's there not to like there, you know? Amen. And appreciate Brother Sanders.
There's a little story behind him that's kind of a private story to me and Brother Mitchell, and I'll share it with you. When we were contemplating this about 3-4 years ago and just putting out the feelers, and ours was the first one in 03, I have to admit, you know, we had the hypothesis was that this is needed. But the question that was lingering is, would people come? And Brother Sanders now knows. I told him this week. He was our first sign-up in 03. And Brother Mitchell came into my office, and it was early on. And there was still 6 months before this thing was supposed to happen. But he came into my office. He said, you know, I just got off the phone with Brother Sanders down in Alabama, and I'd never met him before. And he said, you know, I told him about what we were doing. He was excited, and he said he wants to come, and he's going to buy plane tickets and come. And that, for me personally, just got me over the edge. Just helped me. It was like, I wasn't asking for a fleece, but the Lord gave it to me as a fleece. Yeah. And of course, as he said, he broke both of his legs or whatever shortly after that and couldn't make it. But the Lord used him. The Lord used him, and I'm sure he didn't even know it at the time. So I really appreciate him. This pastor that said he wanted to quit before he came here this week, I always take that for granted, that in a meeting like this, there are going to be some men that are coming here saying, God, you better give me something because I'm ready to quit. And I'm just glad that we could be there to help.
Amen.
And I praise the Lord that he feels differently tonight. And any preacher, if he's honest, somewhere along the line has wanted to quit. So I appreciate that candidness. And I guess I said that to say this. First of all, thank you, Treasure Valley Baptist Church. That I knew we could do this, and I would have all the help I would need. And I know these pastors are thankful. But also, church, let's pray for these pastors. Thank you, preachers, for being here. But we will pray for you, and we consider it an honor that you would come our direction. Toledo next year, roughly the same week. Information will come out here in time to come. We're doing it in Toledo next year. Brother Sal and his church will host it. Did a great job last year. And it won't be the same thing every time. Different topics, different emphasis. And so would encourage you to go to Toledo next year. Would really encourage you to. And then the plan, Lord willing, is to come back here in 07 and do it again. Do it in the even years out there and the odd years here. But if you know another preacher that could use some encouragement, and I think we've lived up to our billing Tuesday morning. I told you, there's no caste system here. There's no peck order. There's no totem pole. We don't care if you're running 10 or 10,000. You're all the same to us. And there's going to be no pressure to join some fellowship or some clique and like someone, one group, or hate another group. We're not about that. We just want to help. My burden is to help other Bible-believing churches and pastors. And in so doing, it's been a blessing to us, and it's been a help to us. I got a lot this week. I really got a lot. And we got some things that we want to implement here as a result of the meeting this week. So we really praise the Lord for what he did. And I just want to take a minute and just point out a couple of men here. Is Brother Burnett here? Brother Burnett, would you come on up for a second, please? Brother Burnett is a good friend of mine. He's been a blessing to me. And Brother Burnett's church is growing. And they're doing some building. They're refurbishing a building. You got some missions money laying around you don't know what to do with. Their church will put it to good work. And come here, Brother Burnett. I believe this. I believe if black America is going to be reached, it's going to be through good Bible-believing black preachers. This is a Bible-believing King James man, separated, militant, preaching, and he doesn't like Jesse Jackson.
Amen.
What's there not to like about a guy like this? Say a word for us, brother.
Amen. I really appreciate Treasure Valley and the support you've given us over the years. And thank the Lord for the pastor's school here. It's been a real encouragement. I've been charged up to want to go back and just stay right thick in the battle. Our church really thanks you because Norfolk Bible Baptist Church, Bible Baptist Church wouldn't be there without the support of Treasure Valley. So I really do ask y'all to keep us in prayer, keep the church in prayer, and thank the Lord that he's given us some men that'll get out there and fight a good fight. Yes. Amen. Thanks.
Amen.
Brother Veldhuis, where's Brother Veldhuis? Would you come on up here, Brother Veldhuis? And Brother Robinson, would you come on down while he's coming up? Do we have Brother Veldhuis's book in the bookstore? Did we put that in there? Okay, we need to. If you get a chance to read the book, the story of his life, and what he went through studying to be a doctor. And, well, you got doctors in your family, right? Your sister and your brother and so forth. And he was studying to be a doctor, got in a terrible accident. And they didn't even think you would live, did they? And I read the book. I tell you, it's an inspiration to me. I read it while I was going through my cancer treatments. And he finished med school after he recovered from serious brain injury. And got bumped out of your internship, right?
Well, I couldn't finish. I couldn't pass surgery or OBGYN.
Yeah.
No feeling. And so.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be on call with epilepsy.
You're still 10 times smarter than I am, brother. And but you know what? That was just a turn in the road for the will of God in his life. He had one idea, but God had something else. And I'll tell you something, I have more respect for this man. He's been with the Kokopah Indians for 13 years now. 13 years. And how many preachers, you know that missionaries to these Native Americans on these reservations come and go, I mean, just as quick as you can blink. How many of you know that? Okay. And you talk about a difficult, thankless job. And God has given this man the patience and the grace and the forbearance to, in fact, we were talking this afternoon at lunch, and I made that reference to low yield ministries. And he said, "Preacher, my whole ministry is low yield." I'll tell you something, I couldn't do what he's doing. I couldn't do what he's doing. And I'll say again, you got some missions money laying around that you'd like to put on a good man that is staying at it. I'd recommend this man. And Brother Robinson has been there and seen his work, and he's the real deal. And he lost his sending church because they went contemporary. And he just stood where he had always stood. And those nice, loving, open-minded people said, "Well, if you don't bring a rock band into your ministry, then we don't have any use for you." And this man stood and lost the money. And it was nothing to him because he's a man of principle. Brother Veldhuis, would you say a couple things to our people?
Well, this week has been a tremendous blessing to me. I, like one of the brothers said, just soaking up everything. You know, you hear eat the meat and spit out the bones, but I've been chewing down everything. It has just been... And I can't wait to get back and put, you know, confirming a lot of things where you start to wonder, is it really the right way after year after year after year and a handful saved and really following the Lord and many just going the way of their peers. When there isn't a home on the reservation where alcohol isn't... alcohol and drugs aren't the number one focus of attention. You know, how are you going to live for the Lord there? And Ephesians chapter 3 says, "To me is this grace given, to me who, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." It's just the grace of God that he would give me the health and the strength to serve him with these Native Americans, using all the medical school, using the Bible school, using the years in growing up in the jungles of New Guinea, all in one way or another with these people. And just thank the Lord for the souls that he brings and for the grace that he gives just to keep on serving him. Amen. It's a blessing.
Thank you. Brother Robinson, come on up. Those of you that are here at Treasure Valley Baptist Church probably recognize this man. And someone has alluded a couple of times this week to churches getting ready to close down. And I remember when God finally made it clear to Brother Robinson and myself and that God would have him to preach. And we got praying about, you know, where he might go and what he might do. And I knew he was serious about preaching. We had a meeting. We had a long talk about it. And then the next time I saw him in church, he didn't have his beard. Okay. I mean, remember Brother Robinson with a beard. Yeah, the ushers gave you a visitor's card, didn't they? Amen. And that'd be almost like taking a beard off of Santa Claus, amen. You know, that church was ready to close down. And I got on the phone with him and I said, don't close down. I think God has got a man for you. And it's so neat the way the Lord works, because Brother Robinson has had this arthritis all these years. And guess where God sent him? Arizona. And he looks great, and things are going good down there. And I guess you guys are getting ready. You guys got a building out here pretty soon, too.
Hey, we're building off.
Amen. Amen.
We need to start another one.
Amen. Amen. And he's working with some people. He's working with some people along with everyone else in that church that are pretty down and out, and they go after him. And they're doing some great things. It's kind of a church and a rescue mission all rolled up into one. And so I really appreciate him. And I told him yesterday, I said, you get that thing going again with the building, get things where you're ready. I'd like to take a bunch of guys down there and help him do some building. Wouldn't you like to do that? Get those nail aprons on and those hammers going and help out down there. Brother Robinson and his wife's a real sweetheart. And they're from this church, and we really appreciate the work that they're doing. Again, in a church that was ready to close down, and now it's going, and they've got to find some more room for all the people they got. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Amen. Brother Robinson, if you...
Well, we thank Treasure Valley, and what he said is true. The week we got there, I was met with two notices on the door. They were going to kill the power and shut the water off on Monday. And... the families, when I got there, they told me, "We don't know why you're coming, we're leaving." That's exactly what the man told me. He said, "I don't know why you're here." But I didn't know there was another King James church in that town, or I wouldn't have went. But God has a way, because the people I deal with, Brother Burnett's been there, and we call them the brothers of the flesh, you know. And it meets the same people that Brother Belhus. These are black Indian people, mixed. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. They have hearts. They've got souls.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I have never been more blessed than since I've been there. And I have never, ever been in doubt that that's where God wants me. And I just thank you for your prayers and thank this church, brother.
Amen.
All right. Brother Burchard, would you come on up for a second? How many of you remember Brother Burchard?
Amen.
Amen. Brother Burchard was my assistant for 12 years here and did a great job while he was here. But when it was time for him to go do his life work, went up to Lewiston, Clarkston area there and started Lewiston, Clark Valley Baptist Church. And Brother Burchard's had some real health challenges over the last few years. And did you have one stroke or two?
Two-stroke handicap.
Okay. but God, come on up, brother. But God gave him a couple mulligans. Amen. and you pray for Brother Burchard. You pray for Brother Burchard. The church is going on, and he's continuing the pastor. And I said to him the other day at lunch, I said, "How's the brain working? How's the brain working?" And what did you say? You said, what?
There are times.
Well, if your brain ain't working, brother, you're doing a good job of faking it. But you know what? That's an inspiration to me. Don't quit. You know, a lot of guys would say, well, you know, I'm not as quick as I was, and I don't have the memory I had. And but that would actually almost be kind of neat in the ministry, wouldn't it? You know? Yeah, but Pastor, oh, I forgot. You know, I had a stroke. You might want to work that a little bit, brother, if you're not already. But, you know, keep going. Amen?
Amen.
Brother Veldheis with that accident and the brain injury and this brother here with the stroke. And how many of you remember Brother Espinoza preaching the other night? Wasn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Amen. What a blessing. And they told me, they said, well, you know, the biggest, when I was diagnosed with that leukemia in December of 01, the one thing that really made me laugh, there wasn't much to laugh about for a couple of days, but the one doctor said, now the biggest thing you got to avoid now is stress. Yeah, all right, yeah. In the ministry, we'll avoid stress. Yeah, sure. But, you know, God doesn't make any mistakes. And he allows our trials to come into our lives, not to ruin us, but to make us better for his glory and honor. Because when we come to the end of ourselves, that's often when we come to the beginning of him. And I really appreciate Brother Burchard and the church up there. That's a sister church, and that's an extension of our ministry, and we're honored that he would be here this week. Brother Burchard?
I really don't deserve to be with these men. And humbled and blessed to be here this week. It has been tremendous.
Amen.
I struggle with quitting every day. And because I know there's better people who could do the job. But God knows what he's doing. And he's exactly right. The preacher said that the Lord allows us to go through some things to make us what we could never be otherwise. And I fall way short. And I guess the Lord said to, you know, up the adversity a little bit. He says, hey, you're behind schedule, buddy. And my testimony is sitting right over there. She's my driver. She's my encourager. The doctors walked in and said, your husband's had a stroke, and we don't think he will ever walk again. He might not see again. And she said, well, it's in the Lord's hands. And she gave those surgeons testimony for the Lord.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And she drives me everywhere, takes care of me. She's my biggest encourager in my testimony. And I thank God for so many things this week, for this place and being able to be here in this conference. But thank you, hon. And my family. You folks, and pray for us, because I want to be everything I can be for those folks up there. They've gone through about 20 years with preachers coming and going. Our stripe hasn't done real good up there, and they've got some attitudes. Amen. And frankly, I really don't blame them for their attitude. But I want to be the exception.
Amen.
I want to be the exception to somebody,
sir,
up there and say, I'm glad I can go back to church and have a good time at church and trust my preacher. Amen. So Thanks for your prayers. Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
All right, and lastly, I'd like to ask Spencer to come on up for a second. And Brother Sam alluded to the future. And Spencer was always one of those guys that I looked at and I said, if he could ever get just a little bit organized, God can use this guy. Always enthusiastic, always excited. And you know what he's got that's a main ingredient? You young guys, listen up. He listens. Brother Jack Wood, who was a real blessing to me, and I sure miss him since he went home to be with the Lord. But I used to hear him all the time say, listen, listen, young man, listen, listen. And he'd always talk to me, these guys don't listen, listen. And when we listen, we learn. And then he married a gal that's real organized. So that took care of that problem. And I appreciate him, all of his enthusiasm. And he's learning and he's growing. And he's becoming quite the preacher and building quite the church in North Dakota. Again, another one of those churches that was ready to hang it up. But they're getting ready to build now, aren't you?
Getting your property paid off.
And that's another place I'd like to send a bunch of guys up with the tools and help these men build their church. Amen? This is one of our guys raised up in this church. He was a little guy running around here, and now he's preaching and pastoring and building a good church. And I've heard all kinds of good things. My wife and I are going to get a chance to go there over Labor Day weekend, preach for him. And we're just blessed. And as Brother Gipp said, that's what it's all about. And preachers, we can go back to our churches and let's have a vision and let's offer hope, because just like we got these young people up here tonight, you got young people in your church too. And God will raise up some Spencer Bakers. And then when you're gone and you're done, then your ministry will continue on. Amen? And I praise the Lord for him. Spencer, come on up.
Well, my cup has been filled since I've been here, and Pastor alluded to the fact that I listen, and I contribute that to the fact that I've had a lot of good people to listen to. You know, there's a lot of young men that don't have that opportunity to be able to grow up in a church like this and be exposed to good preaching, good leadership. I had great parents, and to whom much is given, much is required. And I got a lot of fine examples here, and I'm always excited to come back here and see my friends and see each one of you. And I'm just privileged that the Lord would count me worthy to put me in the ministry. I'm the happiest guy in the world. I love to do what I'm doing.
Amen.
And I love people. I love to win people to Christ. I love the whole thing that we're involved in over there, and I'm excited about what we're doing there. And when you move to North Dakota, the first question anybody asks you is, why did you move here? And I get to give testimony to the fact that God has called me there to preach the Word of God. And they're pretty much in shock and awe. But I love it. I question sometimes, Lord, why send me to a place like North Dakota? And you come from a beautiful place like this. It's dry, but I love the mountains. I love the streams. I love what we've got here. But God called me there for a very specific reason and a purpose. That state, there's not a lot of Bible-believing preachers out there. And so God has challenged me not just only reach my community, but to reach my entire state, and that's what I'm planning on trying to do. We've got hundreds of small towns between 50 to 1,500 people, and I've already started to get our folks excited about trying to go to these towns and win these folks to the Lord Jesus Christ. And years ago, they used to have circuit rider preachers, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to be circuit rider preachers in North Dakota. And one of my goals and my desires, my vision, is to train up young men in our church and win our whole state. And we've already started this summer. We went to one small town in Williston, and we tracked all the towns around there. We put it in the phone book or in the newspaper, on the television, everything that we could do to try to bring people out. We had about 40 people in the small town come out. We rented a gym, and we had almost every person in our church come out to it. We have about 80 people in our church, and boy, it was exciting to me as a pastor to see your whole church come out to something like this. And I had about three or four different ladies and three or four different men give their testimony how they got saved. And in between, there we had some special music. And at the end, I preached the gospel. And just excited about the fact of trying to win some of these people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are really excited. Thank you so much, folks, for your love for these preachers, for your love for myself and my family, for getting behind our ministry over in North Dakota. The money that you've given to us has really helped us really get jump-started. And we only owe about $30,000 on 6 acres that's worth roughly about $450,000 right now. And as soon as we get that paid off, we're gonna get a building up, and we're going to fill that thing. We already got drawings. Brother Dempster has got those drawings right there at his feet, and he's going to look at them. And I appreciate his friendship. And he's gonna critique those and tell me what he thinks. But I'll tell you, that church is going to seat about 450 people, and I'm not planning on stopping right there. Even in a small little town, I believe that God's going to do some great things. And I'm just excited that God has called us into the ministry. I got a great wife, good family. I got a great heritage, and I'm blessed, and God's given me so very much. And I appreciate each one of your friendships. And, you know, that one preacher that was just up here that, you know, is winning those Indians to the Lord, I appreciate him. I appreciate these old men that are just sticking in there. And that preacher that thought about quitting, please just stick it out. I need to see examples like you. Just finish. And I want to finish. I want to preach till I die. And I need to see some men. Brother West, I'm almost done. Brother West came and preached our missions conference, our third annual missions conference, and praise the Lord for the results. But one of the things that God challenged me is he brought up a bunch of shoes right up in the front here. He had about 13, 14 pairs of shoes from Lester Roloff to some other missionaries in Africa. And he said that all these men have died. Some of them were women's shoes, some of them were men's shoes. He said every single one of these men have died or women have died. And his question to all of us was, who's going to fill those shoes? And I don't have a lot of talents and a lot of gifts, but what I have, I want to give the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope to fill one of those shoes. I want to make an impact on our community, on our state, and bring some glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for getting behind me and my family and our ministry over there. We're proud to be out of this church. I'm proud to have Brother Rick DeMichael as my pastor, and I'm just proud of this church. I'm glad to be out of here, and I love you folks. Thank you so very much.
So he's got a vision for the whole state. There was a preacher in California. I heard this story a couple years ago. And he started a church, and he went to a conference, and he had just got started. He maybe had 10 people in his church. And he had made up a little threefold flyer that was an introductory flyer that they were putting on doors all over the community. And nice flyer, slick back, professionally done. And in the flyer was an enthusiastic endorsement of the church. You'd have thought he was running 10,000. And it said, you know, come to an exciting, growing church with an exciting Sunday school program. And went through all these different things that his church was. And a couple older pastors got a hold of one of these, and they were kind of chuckling. And they said to him, what is all this? You got 10 people. What's this exciting Sunday school program? He goes, well, my wife teaches the kids. She's excited. He said, what's this growing church? You got 10 people. He said, well, a few months ago, we only had 5. Yo. And they went on and on. And so you know what I think the Lord's looking for? Someone with childlike faith. They can't figure out why not. You know, too many guys stand around saying, why? We need more people to go, why not? Make a long story short, I think his church runs about 3,000 now. And they've got a fast-growing Christian college to go along with it. Oh, remember the other night? Those kids that were singing here? They were from that college. He talked about the seat 450 and doesn't plan on stopping. You know, some people don't understand. They'll say, well, that's arrogance. No, it's not. And you know what? If it is, the Lord can handle it. Have you ever noticed, have you ever known the Lord to be slow to rebuke arrogance? I wouldn't worry too much about that. I'd be more concerned about faithlessness and lack of vision. You know what the Lord might just do? Look at a young man like that, and the Lord might just say, all right, we won't stop at 450. You know, sometimes I think we just get in the way of what God wants to do. And if we just get in agreement with Him, He could do a lot more than we give Him credit for being able to do. I like that kind of vision. Now, if He doesn't exceed 450, so what? He tried. You know, somebody might have been critical of Peter for walking on water and sinking, but at least he walked on water. It's further than the other disciples went. I like that, amen? That's a vision. He wants to reach that whole state. Let's pray that he does, amen?
Amen.
Let's pray that he does. And that's another guy. When they get that land bought and get ready to build, I'd like to take a team of guys up there and do some building for him. That'd be a real blessing. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and close the service tonight. Let's take our hymnals and let's sing Victory in Jesus. What number is that, brother? Victory in Jesus. I think it's 243. 243, amen.
Save our
right, let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, again, thank you so much for this week. Thank you, Lord, for old friends and new friends that we've made. Thank you, Lord, for the coming together, for the common goal, the common burden. Thank you for the people of this church, Lord, who have gotten behind this thing. And, Lord, many of them behind the scenes, getting things done that needed to get done to make this happen. Father, thank you most of all for your Holy Spirit that did lead and did guide throughout the course of the week, how it seemed that one message built upon another, one lesson dovetailed with the next. And Father, it seemed that you orchestrated it all. Now, Father, as our preacher friends go home to their churches, Father, give them encouragement and strength. And Father, may the things that have been distilled down into their hearts spill over across the pulpit and in their personal lives. And Father, may they be transformed. May all of us be transformed in a way to bring us closer to the conformity of Jesus Christ and more equipped, more able to do that which you've called us to do. Father, whether we find ourselves with one talent, two, five, or whatever you've given us, Lord, we pray that someday we would bring a multiplied fruit back to you at the judgment seat of Christ, that you might say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, we don't want to face the blame of the slacker who brings the one back in the napkin and then makes excuse to you. Father, we know you weren't pleased with that servant. We want to all fulfill the potential that you've given to our hands, and that's all we ask tonight, Lord, that you'd help us to fulfill our God-given potential. Help each one of us, Lord. Thank you so much for the encouragement, the good spirit, and that which you've given to us this week. And we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Good night.